Is this thing on? Word.
This is the Rookie Sports Report, hosted by Matthew Frizzell.
4 runs off the Detroit Tigers, who are the 10th worst in all of baseball.
And Logan Weber.
But this man was swallowed whole by a whale.
Presented by 96.9, 99.9, and AM 1060, ESPN, The Jock.
Everybody love everybody! Come on!
Oh, man. That's how I feel about Mondays, dude. It is what it is, just like what you said right before our podcast started. It be like that sometimes, and it is what it is. Welcome to the Monday edition of the Rookie Sports Report podcast. Hope you all had a fantastic weekend. Matthew Frizzell alongside Logan Weber. Logan, how was your weekend, bro? What'd you do over this past weekend?
Not a whole lot. Once again, working overnights, so Friday into Saturday, which was kind of a quick turnaround because we got the opportunity to co-host Sports Talk last Friday from 4 to 6. So back in here at 11, I wrote some news. I put together the intro and outro and the 30-second commercial promo for our first high school football game coming up this week, game of the week, Skyline versus Valley Catholic. I will be on the call for that one doing play-by-play with the legendary Don Luzader doing color, so that's going to be a lot of fun. And then, I spent most of Saturday trying to get back onto a day schedule. That's usually how it goes for me. I got home at 7 o'clock Saturday morning, and I went to bed immediately, woke up at about 1 o'clock, and, played Madden and...
The new one?
I played the new Madden.
How do you think of it?
It was okay. I mean, it's all right. I mean, I play a lot of Ultimate Team, but I haven't bought a Madden since Madden 19. It's considerably slower than I remember, but I feel like most of that might have to do with the fact that I'm playing Madden Ultimate Team, and, the highest rated player on my team is like an 89 overall right now. So Everybody on my team is pretty slow. There's not a single 90 speed guy on the entire roster right now. So maybe that's the reason why it feels slow. But, I mean, so far it's okay. I feel like the animations behind it are better this year. But, it's Madden, and 99.9% of it is the exact same game from the previous year.
Yeah, it's like Madden 19.3.0 right, or 2.0.
Which, yeah. I mean, that's hard. There's not a whole lot you can do without completely changing the game itself. And if you completely change the game itself, you're running the risk of people not liking it. But if you do the same thing over and over again, like we're seeing from Madden, like we're seeing from 2K, and even MLB The Show, to a certain extent,
to some extent,
I think MLB The Show probably puts out a better game than the previous two. But if you put out the same thing repeatedly, people are going to get tired of it. It's going to get mundane and run down, and it's just going to feel like you're paying $60 for the same thing over and over and over again, which sounds like beating your head against a brick wall. But I guess that's maybe better than the alternative of trying to put in a bunch of brand new stuff and make a brand new game, different, animations and a different play style. And then you're running the risk of people being like, well, this is garbage. I'm not buying this. And then you are starting to hemorrhage money. So, but other than that, I did that, played a lot of video games, and my fiance has got me fully hooked on Grey's Anatomy right now. So she went home this weekend to work, back to our hometown, and I watched probably a season of Grey's Anatomy by myself. Like, I'm fully invested in that show now, and I don't know why. I never thought I would be that guy, but I am, and I like it, and it is what it is.
How many seasons of Grey's Anatomy are there? Like, 37? Like,
I'm in the middle of season 15 right now. Her and I started watching it together, and so we've just sort of slowly gotten through that point. But now she's watching it on her own by herself while she was back home, so I started watching it by myself. And so I'm like half a season ahead of her right now.
Right.
I think there's like 19.
That sounds about right.
I think they're like season 19 is getting ready to start. Something like that. There's 17 seasons, so season 18 is getting ready to begin. So, yeah, it's a... It's a lot. It's a lot, but
that is a lot.
It's a good show. It's, you know, it's fun to don't skip ahead. If you skip ahead a season, you're going to be like over the top confused because there is just it is a rotating dial of characters in that show. I mean, there's characters that, yeah, have been consistent throughout most of the show. Like the person who the main character, Gray.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's other characters that they're like, there's characters that are there for as few as 7 or 8 episodes, like major characters in the plot that are like there and then they're gone. And you're like, what the hell happened? Like their storyline ended that quickly. But yeah, I enjoy it. And it's weird for me because I'm not a person. I don't like blood. Okay. I mean, it makes me nauseous just watching it like on Grey's. I can't. Like, I have to turn away for the parts where they're like actually conducting surgery, which is super weird because that's sort of like the show, right? But I just, I'm not a blood guy. It makes my skin crawl. Yeah. Can't do it.
My mom has been watching that show ever since I was a little kid. And yeah, every Thursday she'd just be tuned into ABC or NBC or whatever outlet it streams on.
ABC,
thank you. And yeah, it was just, you know, appointment TV, Grey's Anatomy. And I watched a few episodes of it and I just can't get interested in it. I really can't. I cannot. One more thing before I go into what I did over my weekend. You talked about video games and the Madden. Completely different video game here. Did you see the new Call of Duty trailer, by the way,
for Vanguard? I sure did.
What do you think of it?
I can't wait. I love World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that sounds weird. But the history of it. Yeah, I am a history nerd and just World War II itself. And I love, I compare this game and what I've read about it. It's very, very similar to what they did with the original Call of Duty game with Finest Hour. You play as 4 different soldiers. One in the Pacific Theater of Operations, one in the European Theater of Operations, right? North Africa, and then there's one more. And why can't I remember the 4th one?
You play in Eastern Europe and then Western Europe, right, and then Pacific, yes, and then South Africa.
You play as a British soldier in Eastern Europe and as a Russian soldier in Western Europe. You play as an American soldier, I want to say, in
the Pacific.
In the Pacific, and then as an Australian soldier in North Africa.
North Africa, not South Africa.
Yeah, North Africa. So that's very, very similar to what they did with the original Call of Duty and Call of Duty Finest Hour, where you played in North Africa and in Europe and in the Pacific, and, you know, you just kind of, it kind of ran things around a little bit. World at War did that a little bit, too.
Not exactly. I mean, it just kind of went from one theater to another. Like, you were an American fighting Japanese troops, and then you were a Russian fighting German troops.
Germans. Right. It was sort of like that, right? But there was only 2 of them,
sure,
right? You were only in those 2 theaters of operations versus the 4 that were really there,
mm-hmm,
right? Because people try to lump in Europe, like the fight in Europe as like the only, well, not really, because that was a 2-front war in Europe with Hitler trying to fight against the East and then the West,
yeah,
with Russia.
Smart.
Yeah, he should have just left Russia alone because they didn't want to get involved in the war at all. And then
they were allies with Germany.
And then the man just decides, like, yeah, I'm going to invade Stalingrad for no reason whatsoever.
Well, I think the reason he did that, and we're getting to a history lesson here on a sports radio podcast, but yeah, the reason he did that was because he was floundering, trying to seize Britain over the Battle of Britain. So he thought, all right, well, this isn't working out. I'm going to try to go invade east now to Russia. And to be fair, he got pretty far, but I mean, he just went too far.
The funny thing is, Hitler was a major historian when it came to the Napoleonic era in France. You know everything there is to know about Napoleon and his reign and his war and all of these things, yet you decided to fight a 2-front war just like he did. You can't win with 2-front. And he just decided to do the exact same thing. And it turned out worse for him than it did for Napoleon somehow.
Yeah. My gosh. Oh, but, I mean, I'm serious. I mean, if he would have won the Battle of Britain, I mean, who knows where he'd be at as just a society today. But, I mean, you know, it's history. We love talking about it, and hopefully it doesn't repeat itself. But, yeah, back to the game itself. I love the fact that it's a 4-front thing, a 4-front game, you know. You get to play as multiple people in a campaign. I liked World War II, the newest Call of Duty World War II game. I just didn't like the fact that it was just all based in Germany, and that's the majority of COD games based in World War II, but no, I love the fact that it's in all fronts in the trailer. The cinematics looked fantastic. Really hoping the gameplay itself is cinematic as well, and really looking forward to it coming out. I believe it was November 5th, or that first week of November is when it's going to come out, and Call of Duty Vanguard, man, I can't wait. Cannot wait. Over my weekend, like you said, we hosted Sports Talk on Friday. That was pretty fun. I enjoyed that. Always fun talking sports with you on a radio. Nothing, no offense to the podcast that we're doing here, which is now available on Spotify, by the way. I actually told my sisters that my older sister, Katie, celebrated a birthday yesterday, and I told her, like, hey, guys, by the way, that podcast I told you about, yeah, now it's on Spotify. I'm like, oh, nice, congrats, you know, and I'm just like, yeah, I had to set up an account on Anchor, and it was that easy. I didn't have to pay anything or anything like that, but I digress. I was a part of Drew's Top 10 after our show. Had a good discussion with him, good interview with him, really nice guy. Didn't really do anything over the weekend. Kind of did what you did, just played video games, played a little bit of MLB, a little bit of War Thunder, a World War II-based airplane game and tank game, you could say. Had a fantasy draft in for fantasy football. I had that go on over this past weekend. Me and the boys just kind of hung out in a PlayStation party and drafted a team, and I think I got a pretty solid squad. I'm looking forward to it. Unfortunately, we couldn't do what we did last year, which was we all gathered at a friend's house. I think I told you about this. And we would have like a sheet of paper, and we would pick out guys that we wanted, and the guy would put in the names after the draft. Like, we had a podium and everything. We would announce our pick and everything. And couldn't do that this year because of different scheduling conflicts, but did that on Saturday night. Then Sunday, didn't do anything. Literally just kind of hung around. Like I said, played more video games. Went out with my sister, celebrated her birthday. Happy late birthday, by the way, Katie. She is now 35, I think, 35 or 36. I'm terrible for not knowing that right off the top of my head, but celebrated her birthday there and just kind of relaxed for the weekend. So not much going on in my world over the weekend, but, you know, it's nice to unwind just for a weekend. Don't have to do anything, just kind of sit at home, relax, do nothing. It's a good time. Good time. You know it's not a good time? Losing 2 games out of 3 to the worst team in the NL Central. And that's what the Cardinals did over the weekend. Really just 2 frustrating games in a row. I mean, you go up against the Pittsburgh Pirates, and you get shut out at home. Like I said, by the worst team in the National League Central, second worst team only to the Arizona Diamondbacks, who are on track to be historically bad this season. You lose the first game there, you play the second one on Saturday, and really a game that probably should have won. You didn't win, however. You had a lead, blew it in the seventh, couldn't get it done. Bullpen kind of faltered. Cardinals couldn't get it done. Thankfully, they did salvage a game, because, I mean, if they got swept by the Pirates, I would have lost all hope for this team. I know I've said that for, like, the gazillionth time here about me giving up on the Cardinals, even though they're somehow still only 4.5 games back. Of an NL wildcard spot. Really just a frustrating weekend. You should have swept the Pirates. Now you got to face the Tigers, which I know it sounds like a terrible thing. You got to face the Tigers, who are the either third or fourth best team in the AL Central. Also on that note, congratulations to Miguel Cabrera, hitting his 500th career home run. Miggy did that yesterday against the Blue Jays, but the Cardinals will open up a series with Detroit. Starting tomorrow, Casey Mize will go for the Tigers, Jack Flaherty for the Cardinals. First pitch set for 6:45, but over the weekend, Logan, just kind of a tough one for the Cardinals. Had a chance to gain some ground, and now you're kind of at the same spot that you were back on Thursday.
Yeah, it's a pretty unfortunate situation because we've been talking about it for weeks, that for this Cardinals team to get back into the playoff hunt, back into that wild card conversation, you had to win games against inferior competition. And without a doubt, that is what this team was. You know, you're still 4.5 games back of the wild card, but you're playing a lot of catch-up. There's only one spot available. I mean, theoretically speaking, if you're being honest, there is one game available in that NL wild card spot because the Dodgers or whoever ends up winning, taking second in that NL West, they have got that first wild card spot. It is locked up. You know, the Dodgers are 78-47 and they have the first wild card spot. That's how good that NL West is between them and the Giants and the Padres. Whoever takes second is going to have that wild card spot. That's just the way it is. So it's really a battle for that second spot between right now Cincinnati, San Diego, and St. Louis, and then, you know, Philly as well. So you're 4.5 games back. You had to win this series against Pittsburgh, and you managed to drop 2 out of 3, and you've got one of the hardest schedules in the National League coming up in this last month. You really do, and that is scary to think about if you're a St. Louis Cardinals fan. Yes, you've got Flaherty back. Yes, you've got Michaelis back. Yes, you're getting Hudson back. But it's a gauntlet in the month of September to try to get yourself one wild card. I mean, you have one shot, right? One opportunity to seize everything you ever wanted, right? Eminem. But there's only one wild card spot up for grabs, and there are 4 or 5 teams in the National League seriously vying for that spot. And if you're the Cardinals, you're already 4.5 games back of that wild card spot, and you're going to have to compete with a team inside your own division in the Cincinnati Reds, who hold that second wild card spot right now.
Yeah, it's not looking good for the Redbirds. I know they're going to get reinforcements, but I mean, we've been kind of having this somewhat of a pipe dream, thinking like, all right, you know, we're going to get Michaelis back. We're going to get Flaherty back. KK is going to come back. We're going to make a push. Well, that push hasn't necessarily started. Flaherty has been good. Michaelis, he was okay in his Friday start. Went 5 innings, gave up 2 runs. None of them earned, by the way. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, you could have the pieces back, but if you don't play as a team and win as a team, you're not going to go anywhere. So, that's just it. It is what it is, like you said, and hopefully the Cardinals can get back on track with a couple of wins against Detroit coming up this week. Team that's been winning a lot lately, Kansas City Royals, huh? Won 2 out of 3 against Houston over the past week.
3 out of 4 against
Houston.
3 out of 4,
excuse me. And then go to Chicago, and I know the Cubs are a measly team now after the trade deadline, but then sweep the Cubs and kind of got screwed out of a no-hitter bid opportunity in, what was it, Saturday or Sunday?
Saturday.
In Saturdays, yeah. Bubich comes in, throws 7 no-hit innings, and then a phantom rain delay occurs. 45 minutes off the field. Matheny, I think, did the right move, brought Bubich back out there, gives up a walk, and then a few pitches later, gives up a 2-run bomb to Cardinal legend Patrick Wisdom. Royals still won the game, but, you know, Bubich kind of got the short stick of a opportunity at history in Chicago, but nonetheless, the Royals get a sweep with the Cubs.
Yeah. I don't understand. You lose 7 of 9, including, you know, you lose 5 out of 6 against the Cardinals, and then you decide to beat the team that leads the AL Central, or AL West.
AL West,
and the Houston Astros.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense, but yeah.
And then, yeah, the Cubs are faltering, right? That's
a nice way to put it.
And Royals fans are well aware of what happens after a World Series for a team. I mean, we're well aware, right? You win the World Series, you go to a couple World Series, and then, you know, guys start to deteriorate. You're not having the success that you once were, and you become a seller at the trade deadline, and you start hemorrhaging guys. You dealing them to other places, or they're signing with other places. That was the difference between what happened to Chicago and what happened to Kansas City. With Kansas City, they just couldn't afford to keep all those guys. You couldn't afford to keep all of these guys. Alex Gordon, Ben Zobrist, Johnny Cueto, Eric Hosmer, Mike Moustakas, Lorenzo Cain, Alcides Escobar, Salvador Perez. You couldn't afford to keep all of those guys. You couldn't afford to keep 2 or 3 of them. You know, it's one of those things. You were able to keep Moose, right? And then you dealt him. You were able to keep Salvi. You were able to keep Alex Gordon, and he eventually goes off and retires as a Royals legend. But Nicky Lopez, who is this man, and what has he done with the real Nicky Lopez? I don't understand it. The guy is, in my opinion, the front runner for the Gold Glove at shortstop in the American League. He has been that good. The guy in the last 7 days, winning 6 of these 7 against the Astros and Cubs, has made more highlight plays than some guys see in a year. I mean, just ridiculous plays. The over-the-shoulder catch he had, the backhand Derek Jeter throw across the diamond. He made a diving play at short and got it to second on a flip for a double play. I mean, just outrageous what he's able to do. And then on top of that, he's batting 282. A guy that we all thought was a 220, 230 batter at best. And if you're a Royals fan, you have got to be, I know that there's not, you look at the record and that's not a lot to be excited about. 55 and 68, you're in fourth in the division. The Tigers are ahead of you in the division. That has to hurt if you're a Royals fan, because this Tigers team was thought to be, along with the Pirates and the Orioles, among the worst teams in Major League Baseball. And then, like, of course, but nobody, I didn't really expect the Diamondbacks to be this bad. I mean, I didn't expect them to be a playoff team, but they've got some guys.
I thought the Rockies would be at the bottom of the NL West, not the Diamondbacks.
I thought the Diamondbacks had some dudes on that roster, and it just hasn't panned out well. Madison Bumgarner made a huge mistake leaving San Francisco, but, you know, that's another subject for another time. But if you're a Royals fan, ignore the record and just look at what's happening right now. Salvador Perez, at 32 years old, is having, or 31, 32 years old, is having the best year of his career. 32 home runs, 80 RBIs. I mean, like, he's got a legitimate case. He could get to 40. He could get to 40 home runs for a catcher. That's impressive. Whit Merrifield is batting .277. That's not over the top great, but he's also got 37 stolen bases, which is tied for the most in Major League Baseball, and he just broke the Royals franchise record for consecutive games played. He doesn't get hurt. He is a durable guy, and that is something that you're really excited about for a guy that's getting older, a guy that is getting, you know, maybe passing his prime of his career. He's also 31, 32 years old as well. But to see Nicky Lopez having the kind of success he's having at second base when Adalberto Mondesi comes back, I mean, and Nicky Lopez is playing shortstop right now and second base, a little bit of both. You could put Adalberto Mondesi back at shortstop, Nicky Lopez in second base, then you have a chance. You don't necessarily have to call Bobby Witt up before he's ready. Or if you decide to call Bobby Witt up, Bobby Witt can also play third. You don't, you know, maybe you can try to dump that Hunter Dozier contract if you can manage it, which Hunter Dozier is batting better. Okay, it's still not great. It's still .210, which is abysmal, but it's better than what he was batting early in the year when he was batting .170, .180. You know, it's one of those things. And you're getting contributions from other guys. You know, Kelvin Gutierrez has been called up and back down and up and back down. Emmanuel Rivera, another guy, called up, called down. But he's batting .263 in only 17 games he's played. I mean, he's hit the ball fairly well despite limited opportunities to play at the to get opportunities at bat.
Yeah.
So there's stuff to be excited about if you're a Royals fan. You can keep Whit Merrifield out in right field and sure up that spot. And then you've got your middle infield is pretty shored up with Nicky Lopez and Adalberto Mondesi. If Adalberto Mondesi can stay healthy and if Nicky Lopez can continue to hit the way he's been hitting. Right, I don't expect Nicky Lopez to be a 300 batter or anything to that. I mean, but if he can hit .260 to .280, that is a great spot to be in for your second baseman to be hitting that well, and also to be a tremendous fielder in that middle infield.
Right, I'm pulling up a video, so I'm sure you're familiar with Drake and Josh.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely,
of course, the ping pong singing. It's just the You talk about guys that have been optioned up and back down. There's one player on the Royals that has just gone the short end of the stick the entire season. It's been Edward Olivares. And one of my buddies cut out this scene from Drake and Josh. And I'm going to describe this as best I can for those who are listening. It's Drake and Josh, obviously, but one of them is the Royals and one of them is the Omaha Storm Chasers. And the ping pong ball is Edward Olivares.
That's literally what's happening. I mean, literally.
That's just what it is.
Yeah. Emmanuel Rivera. It just seems like those guys are constantly like, oh, they're getting called up to the big leagues. Oh, they're getting sent back down. Oh, they're getting called. And, oh, man. It's one of the, yeah, Kelvin Gutierrez is another one of those guys. Kyle Isbell has been that a little bit. Sebastian Rivera, too. I mean, like, I get it. I understand. But, like, between what Nicky Lopez is been able to do right now, Adalberto Mondesi, when he's healthy, is a top five shortstop in the American League. He is a perennial, he's an all-star type guy when he's in the American League. So if you're able to shore up those two positions, then a year or two from now, when Nick Prado is ready, you've got a first baseman. When Bobby Witt is ready, you could have a third baseman. And then to top all that off, the pitching staff, I know the lost 7 of 9 there, but they still pitched particularly well in that stretch. They didn't allow a ton of runs during that stretch. And, you know, Brad Keller has been good. I mean, Bubich almost pitched a no-hitter. Carlos Hernandez went out yesterday, pitched eight innings, got 9 strikeouts. He was awesome yesterday. Brady Singer has been better. You know, there is a lot to be excited about if you're a Royals fan right now. It's just not going to happen right now. You know, it's not going to happen this season. It probably won't happen next season. But trust Dayton Moore. He knows what he's doing. We've all seen what he's capable of with what he was able to do in 2014, 15, and 16. It can get back to that point a lot sooner than what happened before, right? It took the Royals 30 years to get back to a World Series. Well, with Dayton Moore, it could get there a lot quicker. It could be, you could be there, you could be back into a World Series in 10 or 11 years, right? I'm not going to say that we're going to be back in the World Series in 2025. I don't know. But with a pitching staff this young that has been, that has shown promise, as voted on by Baseball America, the third best farm system in Major League Baseball, you've got guys in the major leagues right now that can compete, that can contribute now and might be able to contribute in the future. Who knows what Salvi's going to look like at 36 years old? Who knows what Witt's going to look like at 36 years old? But Nicky Lopez is 25, 26. Adalberto Mondesi, 25, 26. Andrew Benintendi is 26. So there are still going to be guys that are on this roster right now that are going to be able to contribute. And then you've got guys in the minors, Kyle Isbell, Eric Pena, Bobby Witt, Nick Prado, that are going to be able to help you out a lot. And then pitchers in the minor leagues as well, guys like Asalacy. There's a lot to be excited about if you're a Royals fan. It's just not going to happen now. Exude a little bit of patience, and you will be happy when you reap the rewards later.
The Cardinals could do that. Cardinals fans should do that. But then again, we really don't have much to look forward to in our prospect system. Yeah, we have Matthew Liberatore. He's all right. Nolan Gorman, top prospect. We'll wait and see. So, yeah, I mean, I'd be excited if I were a Royals fan. And I know, like, patience is a virtue, but I would much rather have a few bad seasons of, you know, losing 90 to 100 games and then reaping the rewards, like you said, with a 90-win season, a 100-win season, playoff aspirations, then continually go up and play at 500 baseball. That's what the Cardinals have done over the past few years. It's kind of embarrassing. But then again, whenever you think about the Cardinals, they've never truly rebuilt. They've always reloaded. They've never said, all right, you know, we're going to trade off our best players. We're going to trade off guys like Nolan Arenado, Paul Goldschmidt, that such and such, and go into a full rebuild. They've never done that. Don't know why, though. Probably because Cardinal fans wouldn't allow it. They would just stop caring, in which they kind of have already. I mean,
the Cardinals have never been a rebuild team.
Yeah.
You know, they've been a team that they've drafted well, and they've also, you know, they've been an aggressive team come free agency for the most part. And they've also traded for some big name guys. They traded for Arenado. They signed Goldschmidt in free agency, which at the time Goldschmidt might have been the best first baseman in baseball.
Well, they traded for him and then they
I thought they signed him in free agency.
No. They traded Luke Weaver and Carson Kelly, two of their top prospects, to Arizona for Paul Goldschmidt.
Well, and what have those guys done in Arizona?
Kelly's been all right. Weaver, I can't tell you where Weaver's at, but
like I can't even remember who the Royals traded for Johnny Cueto.
Brandon Finnegan.
Finnegan was one of them, right?
Yeah.
And now he's
I don't know where the hell he is. Yeah. Yeah.
He sort of came and went because he showed a lot of promise when he was with the Royals up in the majors, and then we traded him for Cueto and people were like, are we sure we want to do that? He hasn't been in Major League Baseball since 2018. That was his last
Finnegan?
Year.
Finnegan? Wow.
Yeah, he was with the Reds. He only pitched in 5 games. He was 0-3 with a 7.40 ERA.
Man.
He had 14 strikeouts and 17 earned runs. Now, his first real year, right, because we traded him in 15 around the deadline to get Cueto, and his first full season in Cincinnati, he pitched in 31 games and had 145 strikeouts. He went 10-11 with a 3.98 ERA. So he wasn't terrible.
Not bad.
And then He only pitched in 4 games in 2017 and 5 games in 2018, and he has been out of Major League Baseball ever since.
Crazy how it works sometimes.
At 25 years old, he was done.
Man. Yeah, I remember back in that 2014 World Series whenever he was, or in that playoff run, I should say, they made him a big deal because he was a first-round draft pick that came up to the big leagues in that same year, I think, or somewhere around those lines. And, yeah, he had electric stuff and, like you said, was a top prospect, and the Royals cashed him in for Johnny Cueto, and it got them a World Series ring. So I guess that is a good trade for the Royals.
He was called up early. He was drafted in the first round of the 2014 MLB draft and was called up in 2014.
That's really, really rare.
Immediately. I mean, he was immediately in Kansas City. Not necessarily immediately.
I mean, he was on a playoff roster, so I mean,
yeah, he was called up on September 1st when it opens up to 40. He was part of the 40-man call up. So what is it, 40-man or is it 30?
It was 40.
Okay.
Yeah. You can have a 40-man roster then, like, or it used to be in September, you could just call up anybody from the 40-man and have them play. Because at that time, minor league baseball is over. So. Yeah,
it was Brandon Finnegan, John Lamb, and Cody Reed that were a part of that trade for Cueto. And John Lamb, his last MLB appearance was in 2018. Cody Reed. So it looks like, I mean, yeah, the Royals won a World Series. They only had Cueto for a year, but it seems to have worked out pretty well. I mean, Cody Reed is still in Major League Baseball. He's a relief pitcher now. And his MLB career statistics, he is 2-13 with a 5.22 ERA.
So according to this, Finnegan's actually back in baseball, just not Major League Baseball. He took a year off in 2020. Now he's with the Louisville Bats, the AAA organization for the Cincinnati Reds.
Oh, okay. So. And he seems to be pitching okay.
And he's not bad.
3-1 with a 4.3 ERA.
39 innings pitched. Looks like he's actually coming out of relief. He's not being a starter at all. 28 games, no games started. Well, good. Hopefully he gets back to where he was, because like you said, I liked watching Finnegan pitch. So, hope for the best for him. All right, what else can we talk about, man? We're only 30 minutes into the podcast.
We can talk about the greatest feeling I've got in the world right now.
What, college football being back?
Oh, baby! Starting this Saturday, we have college football for the rest of the year!
Well, I guess, yeah, technically a year, for sure.
Oh, man! Oh, I can't even begin to tell you how excited I am. I really can't.
Even though it's Nebraska that's going to be opening up the season, you're excited for
Nebraska,
it?
Illinois, you know, and I don't really care. Hopefully they lose, you know, but I'm just ready for college football, man. It is probably my second favorite sport behind college basketball. It's just one of those things, and I've mentioned it before, maybe not on this podcast, but on other radio shows that I've done for the station. The fandom involved in college sports is unlike anything else in sports. Aside from maybe soccer, you know? I feel like soccer fandom is the greatest. It's the greatest experience you can be a part of. I'm not a soccer guy, but those people are invested.
I'm trying to get into that.
Those people that are invested in soccer, like if their team loses, that can make or break their entire week. You know, it's one of
they play so many games in a season, though.
I mean, they do, but like, it's one of those. I mean, have you met a fan? Like, I mean, going to college and stuff, like I met people from Spain. There was a foreign exchange student when I was in high school who was from Barcelona, Spain.
Ooh,
he was such a giant FC Barcelona fan. I mean, it was unreal. It was absolutely unreal. Like, he was willing to get in trouble at school and get sent to the principal's office because he was going to watch the game at school. He did not care. It did not bother him. I mean, people that are fans of soccer are literally killing other people because of it. Like, that is how outrageous the fandom is in soccer.
Yeah.
That's the downside of it, yes. But, I mean, it's insane. I mean, have you ever seen a soccer stadium? I mean, of course. Just flipping through TV, you watch a game on TV. I mean, you just land on a soccer game on TV, right? And I don't want to really watch the game.
Stadiums are fully packed for those things.
I mean, packed. I mean, packed, and they have the most annoying sounds, those stupid vuvuzelas or whatever they're called. Those are the most obnoxious sounding things on earth. But it's so much fun, and college sports is a little bit like that. It does. I mean, I am an Iowa Hawkeye fan through and through. If Iowa football loses on a Saturday, my weekend is shot. I am in shambles, okay? I am upset for the entire weekend. And I'm getting better about it as an adult, but when I was in middle school or like early in high school, dude, I was a mess. I was an absolute mess. I remember Iowa lost a bowl game, 2012, 2013. I bawled. I cried my eyes out. I was so upset. I don't really know why. Like, looking back on it, that was a bit naive. Maybe it was puberty. I don't know. But I was angry. I don't know what it was.
You feel a lot of emotions during that time.
Yeah,
I guess.
I was just mad. And that's the beauty of college football is it's not about, like, a team, right? I mean, like, in professional sports, like, there can be multiple professional teams in your own state. And, like, this, being an Iowa fan, there are no professional teams in the state of Iowa.
Well, you got the Iowa Cubs. Triple A team.
Yeah, but
they're
technically a minor league team. You know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
A Major League Baseball or an NFL or an NBA team, yeah. Even an NHL team. No, Iowa, people in the state of Iowa are fans of so many. I mean, it's bizarre. Like, if you talk to an Iowa sports fan, if you lined up 20 of them, you know, you get some Cubs fans, some White Sox fans, some Twins fans, some Brewers fans. You might get some Royals fans in there. It's this giant smorgasbord of stuff. And don't even get me started on, like, the NFL. You've got Cubs, you've got Bears fans, you've got Vikings, Packers. You've got Colts, Chiefs. I mean, it is just bizarre how many fans there are. NBA is the same way. You know, NBA, there's some Bulls fans, some Bucks fans, Grizzlies, Timberwolves, Oklahoma City Thunder, which is a bizarre one. I've met Jazz fans in there. Denver Nuggets is another one. So, it's just with the state of Iowa, me being an Iowa fan. Now, I'm not from the state of Iowa, so
parents are though.
My dad is, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, my dad's from the state of Iowa, so that's just sort of how it works. I mean, people within their own families are fans of different teams.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, for the most part, everybody in my family in Missouri, they're all big Chiefs and Royals fans. Of course. Up in Iowa, I mean, I've got family. My uncle is a giant Brewers fan, and my cousin is a giant Twins fan. And it's just it just goes in like this giant circle, and it's weird, and it doesn't make any sense. So, being in a college sports, there is a team in your state guaranteed, multiple teams within your own state, and that's the beauty of it. Like in Missouri, right? Growing up in Kansas City. The Mizzou-Kansas rivalry was huge. I mean, massive. It's right there. I mean, you go to Kansas City, and it's funny, you walk into, like, a rally house, and they have, like, the Mizzou stuff and the Kansas stuff on opposite sides of the store.
Right.
You know, it's one of those things.
Can't intertwine.
Yeah, exactly. Or they would put, like, a school in between, right? They would put, like, Missouri State or UCM or Northwest.
UMKC
or something, like, in between the two so that they would have a little bit of separation. Same thing with, like, a store you go to up in Iowa, like a Shields or something. There's a separation between the Iowa and the Iowa State stuff, and now like the Iowa and the Nebraska stuff too. Because I hate Nebraska. God, I hate Nebraska. I would rather lose to Iowa State than lose to Nebraska. Like
Fair
that's
enough.
How much I can't stand Nebraska. But that's what I love about college sports, and with college football starting this week, I mean it's a beautiful thing. And yeah, I mean I hate Nebraska. You know, I like Nebraska because they're right now, just for the next five days, right? As soon as noon kickoff starts on Saturday and they're playing against Illinois, I'm rooting for Illinois. But I like Nebraska right now because they are kicking off the college football season, man.
For now.
And I cannot wait. We have got some good ones coming up this weekend. Not really a lot of big games going on this weekend, but it's just nice to have college football back. And then, I mean, we're really going to hit hard starting the 2nd of September. Ohio State taking on Minnesota at TCF Bank Stadium. That's going to be a good one. Big Ten football. I mean, Big Ten football is kicking off the year. That's insane. That's so weird. The Big Ten is not a conference that does that. They do not have interconference games week one. But we're doing it.
There you go.
Not just week one. The first game of the entire season is a Big Ten football game. Interconference rival. Now, two absolute bottom feeders in the Big Ten West in Nebraska and Illinois. Nebraska's got a lot on their plate right now with this NCAA investigation. Illinois's got a brand new head coach in Brett Bielema. So, it's probably not going to be great football, but at least it's football, man. Yeah. It is football. I cannot wait. I'm going to go call the game on Friday night, drive all the way to Skyline, call Skyline Valley Catholic, which is going to be a tremendous Class 1 football game. By the way, both teams ranked in the top 10 in the state in Class 1. Valley Catholic has won 15 state championships in their school's career, so in the history of their school, so they're a power. It's going to be a great game, and then I can wake up Saturday at 11 o'clock and turn on my TV, watch game day, and get ready for college football on a Saturday. There is no better feeling than college football on a Saturday, and I will take that to my grave.
That's not going to go to my grave.
Saturday morning college football, and then Christmas Day. That's where I, you know, first weekend of college, first college football Saturday, Christmas Day right under it, right as a close number two. My wedding day will eventually get above that. Like the birth of my kids may eventually get above that.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm going to play it safe and say they will, but even if they don't, I'm not going to admit that. So
Fair enough. Yeah. I'm not as invested as you are in college football, but I mean, it is fun to watch. It's something to like, I don't know. Just kind of.
I mean, are you a Are you a Mizzou fan?
See, like, that's the thing. I really don't have like a dog in the hunt. I'm just kind of like, I have, I guess, fair weather interest in like areas around here. Like, I'm somewhat interested in Mizzou, somewhat interested in Missouri State. My family's from Iowa, so we don't have a specific Iowa team. They root for. They root for both. They root for Iowa and Iowa State. You know, it's just, you know, I'm not fully invested in like a college football team.
Well, and your mom's hometown is in Wayne County, right?
Yeah.
That's closer to Ames than Iowa State, correct?
I
want to say it is.
Yeah.
I want to say it's closer. So there's probably more Iowa State fans. Now, I will say my family's from Northern Iowa.
Right.
Iowa rules in Northern Iowa. It is Iowa, the Iowa Hawkeyes through and through in Northern Iowa. So for me, it wasn't that, but you know, I feel talking college football, talking Big Ten. Some news hitting this morning about the Big Ten. Commissioner Kevin Warren has announced that what they've decided to do, if a team is having COVID-19 issues, right? Team is not fully vaccinated. They are having COVID-19 issues, and the team that they are playing against is not. That is going to be deemed a forfeit. They lose, the other team wins. If both teams are having, if both teams are having COVID-19 issues, it would just be like a declared a no contest, no harm, no foul, both teams move on sort of thing. So I like that, but it is sort of weird that, you know, schools that made these rulings 2-3 weeks ago, not 5 days before kickoff, but I guess better late than never. I guess. Seems a little strange to do it this late, right before you're getting ready to start, but, I mean, whatever, I guess.
Yeah, whatever.
What are you giggling at over there?
I'm looking at old snaps my friend sent me. I apologize. I'm
just over here trying to have a conversation, and this man's just giggling at his phone. I don't know if he's giggling at me or what's going on.
Nah, I can't laugh at you, man. Nah, but I don't know why, but
obviously, because I'm such an intimidating human being. Look at me. I'm the peak of physical perfection.
You are the peak in which I desire the most to be as a man.
All 5'9", 140 pounds of me. If there's a wind advisory, I'm forced to stay inside because that thing's going to sweep me up and take me with it.
We have a heat advisory in effect today. Actually, for in effect all Thursday here in Springfield, Missouri, so don't melt out there.
I'll be okay.
Yeah.
I think.
You know, I hope as well.
As long as the wind stays under 20 miles an hour, I'm okay. Otherwise, I just end up like an umbrella that flies out of somebody's hand. I just float away.
Yeah.
I'm like, I look like the house and Up. I'm just gone. Just floating away up there.
No, are you in like any Snapchat group text or whatever?
Like, oh, yeah.
I've got one for the boys I play PlayStation with, and we're just sending stupid photos of each other right now. And I actually just plugged our podcast in our group text. I just sent a picture of, like, me with a microphone.
Yeah, you got a shameless plug. Yeah. You have to shameless plug.
Exactly.
You have to. Oh, yeah, I've got several. So my last semester of college, I was... I went a semester extra, right? I went to college for 4.5 years versus the normal 4. So all of my college friends had graduated. So I didn't really, I was trying to scramble to find somewhere to live. I was going to live in my best friend from college. He was in a fraternity and lived in a fraternity house. So I was going to move into the fraternity house, even though I wasn't in it. And I had signed the lease and everything. They said I was good to go. And then come to find out last second, I wasn't, you know, something had happened. Whatever, and so I had to find somewhere else to live. Well, I've got a younger brother who is 3 years younger than me. So if I'm going in, I was going into my, my super senior year, right? Yeah. Super senior semester. My brother was going into his sophomore year of college, and so he had rented a house, and one of his roommates had up and moved out, and so I just sort of slid in, you know, decided to move in, Well, then somebody else had decided to move in, too, and I was only staying for a semester, so I gave that person the actual bedroom, and I decided to stay in the smaller room. Well, this room, let me tell you, this room was probably 7 feet by 8 feet. Like, I was able to fit my bed, my dresser, and my nightstand.
That was it.
And a shoe rack. That was all I could fit in this room.
Ouch.
Let me tell you something. I had to get into my bed to open and close my door. There was not enough room for me to, like, move to the side of my door to open it. None. I had to sit on my bed or lay on my bed to open and close my door. That's how little room I had. This entire house ran on window units. My room did not have a window unit because it was sort of like a broom closet.
Yeah.
Okay. Most of my family likes to, they refer to it as like the Harry Potter closet.
I was just thinking about, oh yeah, you're living like Harry Potter.
Yeah, I was covered under the, I was living in the covered under the stairs sort of thing. No AC in there. So it was either in August, it was 90 plus and I was sweating, or come November and December, it was 40 degrees and I was freezing to death, which thankfully I had a heated blanket for that. But it was one of those things that when I was living there, we decided to make this big group chat of all of us together. And then a bunch of my brother's buddies who had gone to high school with him would always come over to our house, which was not the best move on the planet because of COVID. But and we had a lot of fun. So we had like 15 people in this big group chat. And we would all like, right, we'd be like, hey, who's coming over tonight? Who's doing this? Because we would have people at our house legitimately every night of the week. We had 5 guys living in this house, but there were at least 12 people at our house on any given night. And because it was so much fun, because right around that time, right, last fall was when Among Us came out and really started to blow up.
So we
would sit in the living room on our phones and play Among Us for 5-6 hours a day. I mean, like legitimately 5-6 hours a day. We would get guys together. We would play like tournaments and stuff. We would have like 2K tournaments. I remember one night we had a PGA 2K21 tournament. We had teams of 2. It was a 6-man tournament, 6-man like right to 2-team scramble, and that's what we did for like an entire night. And we got golf memberships. Went out and golfed all the time. So yeah, plenty of group chats. Group chats from college. I mean, so many of them. So many of them. I still get like occasional. People will text in the group chats from like 2 or 3 years ago, and I'm like, oh my God, I didn't even know we still had this group chat. It's insane.
Yeah, I wish our friendship with like the boys, and I'm not saying it's like bad or tour or anything, but no, we've never, or at least recently, we've never like gone together and played like video games at like a certain house. We did it one time with my buddy Jake's. We did it one time at his place, but you know, just don't have the facilities for it, but I mean... Nah, man. The group chats and the friendships you get in high school, they stay throughout college. And if you can keep them throughout college, then it's so great. You know what else would be great? If we probably close out the program here. It's been fun. Good Monday segment. Talked about the lack of good Cardinal baseball and the very, very good baseball that was played by the Royals over this past weekend. Talked about... Hell, we started off talking about video games. Talking about Madden and Call of Duty Vanguard, which I'm really, really excited for.
I can't wait.
Me too.
I was talking to some buddies about that last night. I was speaking of PGA 2K21 and friends from college. My best friend from college got engaged last month.
Congratulations.
So I talked to him a little bit, like just like texting back and forth. He FaceTimed me after they got engaged and stuff like that, and you know, asked me to be in his wedding and all that stuff. But we hadn't really had a chance to just sit down and talk about it. So we decided that we would sit down and talk about it playing a private match on PGA 2K21. So my best friend from college and one of his good buddies, who I've become great friends with, playing golf throughout the years and stuff, we decided to get on, and we played PGA 2K21 for like 3 hours. And we're sitting there, we're talking about stuff, and I started talking to them about like, hey, are you guys going to buy the new Call of Duty? And they were just, I mean, just slandering COD. I couldn't believe it. They're like, no, I'm not buying it. I'm tired of it. They're just putting out the same game and this and that and the other. And I'm like, dude, but COD's like still really good. Like, I don't get it.
It's not as good as it once was.
No, but I mean, it's just, that's just.
And I think part of that's the nostalgia.
Yeah, it's just us getting older.
Yeah.
You know, it's just us not being, you know, it was so much better back in the, yeah, but I mean, the original Black Ops and Cold War Modern Warfare.
If we had no prior knowledge to the past games and they were released right now, so say like Modern Warfare 2 wasn't released in 2009, it was released in 2019, we would, you know, complain about it a lot more now than if we played it back when we were, you know, 9, 10 years old, because we didn't know any better.
And here's the thing. Here's what I would recommend that these things, these companies and these major games start doing, okay? And Call of Duty has done it a little bit. I know, like, I'm a big Assassin's Creed guy. Assassin's Creed has done it. Grand Theft Auto is getting ready to do that as well. If people want to talk about these old games all the time, you have to put out remastered versions.
Thank you.
I mean, they put out a remastered version of Modern Warfare and Modern Warfare 2. You know, put out a remastered version of the original Black Ops. Put out a remastered version of the original Call of Duty games. Finest Hour, Big Red 1, Call of Duty 3, Call of Duty Classic, you know, Call of Duty Vanguard. Put out these older games that people are craving. When was the last time Medal of Honor had a game released?
Oh, man, I couldn't tell you. Ooh.
Like, to be completely honest, they put out a game in 2020? They did? I've never heard of it. Above and Beyond? Never heard of it.
Man.
Yeah, on PC.
Yeah, that's why I probably never heard of it.
Yeah. Put out the old, like the complete collection. Put out the old one. European Assault, Airborne, Vanguard. Put those games back out.
Yeah, because I'm serious, bro. Like, I would legitimately be okay if Call of Duty would stop trying to make new Call of Duties, like either go more into the future or try to go back into the past, like with Vanguard. Though, I think Vanguard's going to be a good game, but I digress. I would be fine if their yearly releases were just the old CODs being remastered. So, like, this year... Actually, no, Sledgehammer's making this game this year. But next year, I think Infinity Ward has priority. If they didn't release a new game and they just remastered MW3 or one of their older games, I'd be totally fine with that.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, do you know how many people, you know, I say this, but I'm 23 and a half, right? There's kids that are 3, 4, 5, I mean, like my people my sister's age, born in like 2002, 2003, people born after 2000, they might not even know what Call of Duty Finest Hour is.
Right.
You know, so if you remaster it and put this game out, you're going to get people that have never heard of the game, teenagers and young adults that have never heard of the game, they're going to be very interested in playing it. And then you're going to get people our age, people older than us, like my dad. That was one of the first games I can remember my dad playing. In fact, I remember my dad playing it and then telling me I couldn't play it, which I did, but it was one of the first games I can recall ever playing. You're going to get people that maybe don't play video games very much anymore. You're going to get them to come back. It makes so much sense. And you know one game that I really want a remastered version of?
What's that?
Red Dead Redemption, the first one.
Oh,
I love that game. I love Red Dead Redemption 2, also one of my favorites, but I like Red Dead Redemption 1 a little bit more. I would love a remastered version of that with an alternate ending as well. Because that's one of the most... The heartbreak I felt at the end of the first Red Dead Redemption game. Have you ever played it?
I've not. I downloaded, or I haven't downloaded, I bought one of those little cards you get for, like, games. So, like, you come with a card and it comes with, like, a code to put into the game or whatever. I bought one of those for Red Dead Redemption 2 back on Black Friday. I lost it, and I haven't found it since because I haven't really cared.
No.
I need to, though.
It is such a good game. And the original Red Dead Redemption is so good.
Would you play it on PlayStation 2, 3?
PS3.
PS3, okay.
Yep. If you have PlayStation Now, which I do, do you know what PlayStation Now
is? Yeah,
I know
what it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you have it, it has like thousands upon thousands of games that you can just stream, mm-hmm. you know? Red Dead Redemption is on there. It's one of them. And... so you can play Red Dead Redemption on PS4. It's not the remastered version. It's still the PS3 version, so the graphics aren't as good or whatever, but it's still a great game, and I absolutely love it. And I usually, every couple of years, I will replay it because it's just so good. And it's a long game.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's made by Rockstar Games, which makes Grand Theft
Auto.
Grand
Theft Auto, yeah.
But the game is, like, two or three times as long as Grand Theft Auto is.
Yeah. And GTA has a pretty long campaign. So.
Yeah, it does, but Red Dead Redemption is so much longer.
Speaking of GTA, when are they going to come out with number 6?
Like 2025 is what they said. Like a decade.
I guess. Because, God, how long has GTA 5 been out? 2013? Oh, probably even before that, maybe like 2011? 2011, 2012?
I'm pretty sure GTA 5 was originally released on PS3.
Yeah, because I remember playing it on PS3. I'm serious. Yeah. I remember also there would be like a
2013.
Little... 2013. Sheesh. Almost a decade now. But no, I remember specifically on the PlayStation 3, for whatever reason, I would go to the part where the airbase is, and no matter what I was doing, whether I would be driving or flying, my game would just freeze. And I couldn't get out of it. Nothing would happen. I just have to close the app and just try to avoid that area of the map. It was really, really unfortunate, to say the least. But now I don't have that problem because now I play it on PS5, so... All right. We began the podcast talking about video games. I probably suggest we should probably end the podcast talking about video games. Sports podcast, by the way. But you know what? We love talking about other things besides sports. Like I said, it can get mundane just talking about the same old. So that'll probably do it for us here on a Monday. Let's hope for another good week of shows here because I thought today's show was pretty great.
It is always great.
It's always great.
That's just me.
That's how I feel as well. That's just how I feel. Great song, by the way. All right. Enough BSing. Logan, always appreciate it. We'll do it again tomorrow.
Absolutely.
For Logan Weber, I'm Matthew Rizzell. This has been the Monday edition of the Rookie Sports Report Podcast. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
College football's back!